Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590 The Fan, Blake Murphy, Caleb Porfar, JD Bunkus, and being joined by our pal, This Insider. It's brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Host of the Raptor Show every day on Sports at 590 The Fan at 2 p.m., as well as post-game after all your Raptors games, including last night. The Raptors win over the Spurs. William Liu, what's up, buddy?
I'm doing well, Blake. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, is this the earliest you've been up this season?
I would love to say no, but it is yes, indeed. But I'm feeling great. How are you guys?
Oh, good morning. We're like 6 hours into our day.
Yeah, I don't know how you guys do it, but, you know, this is why you guys are my dad's favorite show on the lineup. I'm not even kidding. My dad every day was like, look, I know it's cool that you do 2 a.m. or 2 p.m., but every morning my alarm clock radio goes off and I hear your friends, JD, Blake, and Ailish. So,
does he ever text in the text line?
He's very shy when it comes to speaking English, even though he's been fully fluent for 20-plus years. I don't fully understand this, but, maybe I will get him to text in one day.
Yeah, get him one day.
Okay.
Yeah, we want to hear his takes.
There is nothing funnier to me. Oh, sorry, I was just going to say that, like, when people learn, like, a second language and they're, like, embarrassed of being speaking their language, and it's like me, a stupid guy who knows one language and, like, five French words, and is like, you know, whenever I get the opportunity to show off my five French words, I'm in the drunk cab in Montreal being like, salut, mon ami. It's like, they'll never understand it. I'll never understand.
Well, so last night, Raptors pretty much dominate the Spurs. It was close for a little bit. There was a little pushback in the third quarter, but mostly this was exactly what you'd hope for against a Spurs team that was down a couple guys. And as the Raptors get back to health here, 129-104. The big story, and we talked about this a little bit at 6 a.m., is Fred VanVleet's scoring run of late. He had 33 again last night, very efficiently, hit seven threes, putting up about 30 a game over his last five. What are you seeing from Fred this last little bit, and just where he fits in the offense with everyone healthy now?
I mean, I think, you know, part of it, his scoring run coinciding with the fact that people are getting healthy now is not surprising, because he has this element to his game where he plays off ball and he plays catch and shoot. And he talked about the other game against the Knicks. You know, it's a little easier to play catch and shoot now. And I think that option is more there for him now as compared to where it was at the start of the year, where, you know, he was the one driving the play. He was the one getting downhill, setting guys up. If he was scoring, a lot of it was self-generated for him. And so, you know, he could do that. And I think that's one of the biggest improvements in his game this season. But he has that catch-and-shoot element that's always been part of it. And now when you have Pascal, primarily Pascal is the one setting him up. But when you have Pascal also really looking sharp physically, he's getting downhill. He's consistently touching the paint, and that's allowing Fred to, to play more in transition, to play more catch and shoot. And, you know, you just mix the two of those things together. The fact that he can generate for himself, but also play catch and shoot. And yeah, right now the numbers are great. I think also, not to take any away from Fred, but playing in an empty gym might low key kind of help on this front too. But I think just, in general, his confidence has been sky high all season. And, you know, it's kind of nice, really, because when you watched last night's game in particular, guys are making the extra pass to Fred, almost like, you know what, let's get Fred to the All-Star game. You know, there's a chance for Pascal, but he missed some time. You know, the social media, there's a push for OG as well. That's cool, but realistically, like, if one guy's going to make it from the team, it's going to be Fred. So let's try to, like, get his numbers up as much as possible. Even Gary Trent Jr. is making the extra pass, which is kind of amazing, because, you know, he isn't really known for the passing specifically. And that's really nice to know, because let's be real, Fred's been kind of like the one carrying this team all season in terms of guys have been in and out, except for Fred, largely. He's only missed three games. A lot of other prominent players have missed more. And in these games, Fred has been, when you look at the on-off metrics, he's like, the Raptors are like plus 20, essentially, when he's on versus when he sits. So, yeah, he's been huge. And so now the teammates are rewarding him, both in terms of just getting him good looks, but also, you know, trying to come to Cleveland in February, where everyone's trying to be. Everyone's trying to be at the Quicken Loans Arena in February.
I think that's the first time I've heard somebody say that somebody with a empty gym is benefiting. And like that kind of, we are all like, oh, interesting. I want to know why you think that that could be the case for Fred. And also just earlier we talked about how I expected people to be giving him the ball a little bit more because of the All-Star game voting, but I don't think it went over as in agreement with these two guys. So touch on that as well.
Yeah. I mean, first off with the empty gym thing, I think the closest thing reminds me of, obviously these are unprecedented times, but it reminds me a little bit of the bubble in a mm-hmm. sense, right? Shooting percentages were up pretty much across the board. And especially when you look at teams like even the Lakers, who won that year, not to take anything away from them, but a lot of players on that team shot percentages that were pretty outrageous when you compare it to their career norms. And I don't know whether it has to do with the fact that, you know, again, there's just not as much noise, there's not as much distraction, there's maybe not even as much intensity, let's be real, in some of these empty gyms. But honestly, Fred is shooting like it's warm-ups out there. And, you know, we'll see if it continues. I'm not trying to take away his credit, but at the same time, you know, I think he would even probably admit to you in an honest moment that, you know, the lack of fans, I think, does help the shooting percentage just a slight bit. As for getting Fred more shots, I mean, especially in this stretch of games, right? Let's be real about the Raptors' three-game win streak here. The Clippers were shorthanded. The Knicks were shorthanded. The Knicks are also just the Knicks. They're not very good. And then the Spurs, you know, they had, I would say, half a rotation, really. But, like, you know, they weren't very good last night either. These are the kind of games where you want to give Fred 27 shots or 17 shots or 23 shots, get him to the All-Star game. Absolutely. Right? Fred's usage hasn't been, like, that high. It's not like he's had, like, a Westbrook in, you know, Westbrook type of season where he's using 30, 35% of the plays. He's not doing that. But right now, to get him some extra looks, I think it's a good idea. Plus the fact that he's just shooting the lights out too. So you would want to find the hot hand regardless of any sort of All-Star push.
Yeah, I like the no fans take here because it lets everybody link it to the Rico Hines stuff where we go, well, Fred dominates these runs in the summertime, no fans. And now he's dominating here, no fans as well. I guess.
Hey, man, there might be more people in the Rico Hines gym right now than Scotiabank.
There's definitely 100% more people at the Rico Hines run. I guess the question that I find myself asking when I'm watching Fred is, yeah, I don't want anybody else shooting the ball more than him right now. I can't remember if it was you just now or if it was Blake earlier saying that, you know, he's even been, to me, more trustworthy of a shooter than Gary Trent. And I agree with that. Like, I want this guy taking volume on this team, but now they're moving into a couple of games against some opponents that aren't the ones that you just listed. Like, they've got a couple of games against the Bucks coming up here. They have, who else do they have? I don't have the
Suns
schedule
and Jazz.
Suns and Jazz, right. Some actual quality opponents here. I wonder where you think Fred's usage is kind of supposed to sit, or his field goal attempt volume is supposed to sit on a more regular basis as they play better teams and they try to find out, you know, who they truly are against better opponents.
I mean, I think it's not going to be like 20 plus, I don't think, but it really just depends on the flow of the game. I think, you know, right now what we're seeing is Pascal emerging as sort of a running mate for Fred. I think all season sort of been Fred has been the number one guy, but you know, Pascal sort of coming on strong. To be honest, if I were going to be, just the most truthful, I don't think either guy are like the clear cut number one options, especially when you get to a playoff setting, when defenses sort of settle in. Like, you know, I don't fully trust these guys to generate their own offense or generate the majority of the team's offense. But at the same time, I think right now, especially with Pascal coming on stronger, like, you know, you kind of usually see both of them in around 17, 18 shots. It depends really how the defense wants to play it. If Pascal, for example, really has it going and, you know, teams are sending a second defender, then, you know, Fred's done a great job of playing off ball and hunting for opportunities. You know, if, let's say they're playing the Bucks and they want to do traditional drop back coverage with their bigs, then Fred has a lot of space to shoot off a screen, so his attempts might be up. It all depends on the defensive game plan. But I think right now what's nice is that the Raptors have a couple of options here. Like, if you look at it on the season, you have three Raptors averaging 19 or more points between Fred, Pascal, and OG. Then you have Gary, who obviously is regularly going to go off for 20, especially if the shot is dropping. And then Scotty. Like, he does his thing, too. So, you know, there's multiple ways for the Raptors to be playing right now. So I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't always Fred, you know, leading the team in scoring tonight. And realistically, like, you know, he's a point guard. It's not like he's supposed to be leading the team in shots all the time. But right now, obviously, he's shooting really well, and the ball's finding him in good spots. And, you know, let's be real. Even when he was taking bad shots last night, like, he drove the lane and he took some contact, didn't get the call, but he still flipped the shot up anyway over his shoulder, and he banked it in off the glass. And then, you know, in the third quarter, it was a play where I think it was an air ball or something, but he collected the offensive rebound. You know, shot clock didn't reset. It was like 2 seconds. He dribbles it out to the free throw line area and just goes for like a quick 180. He didn't even look at the rim and banked it in. So I don't know. I mean, the things are just dropping for him right now. It's perfect timing.
Yeah, when those ones are falling, you kind of can't complain about any of the ones he's taking. I think so. My actual answer to why Will thinks the empty gym thing is a thing is that Will has spent most of the pandemic doing the Nick Nurse shooting training thing, and Will has improved his free throw shooting a lot. So I think that's you know, Will runs that out at the Raptors Republic 3-on-3 tournament, and obviously it's butter. I think
yeah,
that's
but if
where
you did it at
Will.
The 3-on-3 tournament and you were scoring at the tournament and it did improve, I would say that that's in front of fans. Because
there were no
fans
there. Alex Wong was the only fan there.
Yeah, but...
He's the coach, come on.
Yeah, aren't some of the people that play in the tournament like actual fans of your work? That counts to me. Like, yeah. Come on, that counts. That's there.
So the offense is figuring it out, how this works with the core guys. And Will... We talked on this show, and you and I have talked a lot about how, you know, even if you don't care that much about the Raptors' absences in terms of, hey, what's their upward mobility in the standings, because everyone's been banged up a little bit, part of the concern was a limited sample of how Fred, Pascal, OG, and Scotty look together, and then to some extent Gary Trent as well. They played a couple of games together now, up to 77 minutes as a foursome, and most of those have been with Gary Trent Jr. as the fifth. What are you seeing from that group defensively? They've won those minutes by a little bit, and 77 minutes is going to be noisy. But are you, you know, a lot of the focus has been on the offense because Siakam and Van Vliet are putting up such gaudy numbers the last little bit. But are you starting to see what Nick Nurse wants to see out of that group defensively as well?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think they're rotating quite well. You know, obviously, 77 minutes is still a little bit too small to evaluate, like, specifically the numbers in terms of, I mean, like, maybe a team just gets hot for 5 minutes and that throws off the numbers entirely. But, yeah, I think the rotations are there. I think they're the key decisions for them to make is, one, who's guarding the opposing center, because none of those three guys are centers in the front court between OG, Scotty, and Pascal. But, you know, so far it seems like they're just giving Scotty that role. And then I'm also curious to see how much switching they do. Right, there is an ability for that group to switch, maybe not across all positions, but you know, they can certainly switch a lot of, like, let's say 3-5 actions. You know, even it's not a lot of 4-5 actions, but you know, you could switch a couple of things. And even if you do end up with any of these sort of wings on guards, like, I don't think anyone's going to be worrying too much about a mismatch. And then the other part is, okay, who's going to rebound for this group? And right now, it's been Pascal. Like, Pascal's rebounding has been sky high for the last three games. You can, you know, talk about 19 against the Clippers, 14 against the Knicks. He had 12 last night. I think he only played 27 minutes. So, you know, what he said at practice, you know, they've been calling me Pascal Rodman. I don't know who they is. That's not a nickname that necessarily flows for me personally. But, yeah, as long as he's doing the Pascal Rodman thing and securing the defensive glass as well, I'm not too worried about it. I think the group looks good. And I really especially like the idea that it almost artificially forces Nick to go with these huge lineups off the bench. And those have been almost working even better than the starting groups. If you look at last night, for example, they went on a 12-0 run in the fourth quarter, which completely locked the game away. And that lineup, they didn't even have a guard on the floor. Forget no point guard lineups. The Raptors been doing that. But, like, no guards, period. It was Scotty as the one at 6'9", right? Then OG at 2 at 6'8", then Pascal 3, Chris Boucher and then Precious Achiuwa, like that's five forwards. And they've been crushing teams when they go to these sort of bigger looks. So that's something you're just going to have to do when you only – when you start without a center and your bench comes up, like your sixth, seventh, eighth guy are all centers. So you're just going to have to play multiple center lineups. And the extra size has been good. The Raptors have really actually been able to press a size advantage this year when they've gone in those bigger lineups in small doses. And that's nice to see, because what we have seen and what we have sort of complained about maybe at different times during the year is like, wow, the Raptors are really small, black size. The centers are hurting. I mean, I'm curious to see how this like 5-4 lineup's going to look against a team like Milwaukee, for example.
That's what I was going to ask you about next. And the Raptors have played what you'd qualify as, I guess, 17 minutes of those lineup types so far this year, where there's nobody, you know, the smallest player I have in my filter here is Justin Champagne. And they're plus 16 in those 17 minutes. So looking pretty good so far. But yeah, I wanted to ask you about this Milwaukee matchup, because you think, hey, how are other teams going to look to slow a guy like Giannis in the playoffs? And what might they try to crib from, or what worked for the Raptors during the playoff run? And it's not just having switchability. It's having size everywhere to take away space. And we obviously, everyone remembers Giannis talking about, you know, having nightmares about the traps with Kawhi and Marc Gasol. How do you expect Nick Nurse to approach this matchup tonight with Giannis? And, you know, there's the Middleton component and the Holiday component, but mostly we're going to watch how they're guarding Giannis and which guy he gives that responsibility to. Do you think they just kind of go with the defensive identity they've been rolling with? Do you think they trial by fire Scotty here? What are you doing if you're Nick Nurse tonight?
Well, I think I'm going to prepare like three game plans, because definitely one is not going to be enough for Milwaukee, I think. I think obviously you need a specific look when you're with the starting group, right? And starting group is going to be smaller with Fred and Gary in the backcourt. But I think when you're seeing the smaller group, what they're going to probably do is, if Giannis is attacking from the top of the floor, they're going to send help and they're going to be digging quite a bit, especially Fred and Gary. They're going to be swiping at the ball. They're going to be, you know, essentially showing a soft double team. And then trusting the rotations of the fly out back out to the Bucks shooters. When you're going to, I probably want to see much more. I mean, depending on how foul trouble works, but I definitely want to see the all forward lineup and see how that works against Giannis. I really like the level of shot blockings in that group, right? Like, as much as Chris Boucher has really struggled this year and he's sort of been a punching bag, he's been playing great of late. And I thought last night it was one of his best 4-point performances. I'm really not even saying that facetiously. Like, he had 2 steals, 2 blocks, was making good plays as well. He's long and disruptive, especially when he's playing 4. Even Precious can give you a block here and there. I think in terms of the primary assignment, though, it's probably going to be OG, just a matchup in terms of the size and the strength component that Giannis has, because that's also the thing for him. It's like, you can set up your defense, but if he's just going to run right through it, then, you know, I don't know, it doesn't really matter what kind of defense you're playing or who's out there. So you need someone to at least like block him from going to point A to point B, and OG is the best option for that. So, you know, but we'll probably see a little bit of Pascal and Giannis as well. They've used that a lot in the past, and probably, honestly, let's see some Scotty and Giannis as well. Why not? We need more propaganda for the Scotty hype machine. If he blocks Giannis once or twice, I think the timeline would be pretty happy.
Speaking of the timeline, do the Toronto Raptors still Bing Bonga from me?
I think they did. Yeah, I was.
Oh,
that's
good confirmation.
I feel like, yeah, that has to be it, because I don't think I've seen anyone else even tweet about Isak Bonga at all, period. Except for you.
I am his biggest
number
fan.
One fan. Exactly. So, no, it was pretty great. I think, what did you think? They used the hyphen in between? I feel like they could have just ran with it straight, you know?
No, yeah, they did Bing Bong with the dash A, and I'm like, yeah. Rookie move, you know that you don't need that.
Yeah. They weren't with Ailish in the gym. They weren't at those Westchester Knicks games.
That's right.
Where Bing Bonga was
putting
up
weren't.
The... No. yeah, so... I guess the only other thing I want to ask you, Will, from last night, and it's a little niche, but just quickly, Justin Champagne looks like a rotation player. And I know guys at that point of the rotation can look good for a little bit and then fall out of favor and stuff, because the margins are small there. But what do you like from him, and what do you see as his fit? Like, Utah and Svi will be back eventually, but not for a game or two still.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're going to be ahead of – he's going to be ahead of Svi or Utah quite yet. But I think Nick likes him, which I think is probably the biggest advantage in his book. I think the other thing is, you know, he's been really active on the offensive glass. He has a really good feel for the game in terms of, you know, where shots are going to come from. He relocates really well. He does a lot of those good, like, role player kind of stuff. Now, the only thing for him is that he's a little undersized for a guy who's mostly going to be going for offensive rebounds or, you know, little cuts and finishes around the basket. So, you know, he's probably going to have to add the three-point shot to his game as well because, you know, he's just a little bit smaller, but he defends well. He has the right attitude. You know, listening to him speak on the interviews, he clearly has a good head on his shoulders. And, yeah, I mean, the guy I would compare him to really is, like, he kind of reminds me of where Utah was last year in the sense that he joins the team on a two-way, you know, what's his skill set here? And, you know, really, it's not necessarily about the skill set. You don't want a guy at the 11th man, 12th man to, like, wow you, but if they come in, can they do something consistently? And Champagne comes in, defends, he gets offensive rebounds, and at least last night, he was knocking down threes. So if you can get that three shot to be more consistent, then, yeah, why not? I could see him being in the league next year and beyond.
Justin Champagne, good head on his shoulders. Also a good head on his shoulders, big head on his shoulders. William Liu, okay. Host of the Raptors show. People can check you out. The Raptors Reacts postgame show airing tonight on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, following Leafs Nation postgame show. And then your regular show, 2 to 3, as usual. Will Liu, thanks so much, buddy.
Thanks for having me. Going back to sleep.
That's William Liu. You. And that insider has been brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Justin Champagne's a guy, but more importantly, we're going to learn a little bit about how much of this Raptors run was them figuring it out and getting guys healthy and things starting to click versus how much of it was the product of playing three not great teams pretty thinned out, because the Bucks don't check either of those boxes. They're missing a couple guys, but they got Giannis, they got Drew, they got Chris Middleton. Should be a very fun game tonight.
What I think is really interesting is it's about Fred VanVleet right now, and yet my biggest point of curiosity is the forward lineup that you guys talked about, right? Is they're all-star. I don't want to see them on the floor as much in this matchup. Like, you're not better without Fred, obviously. You're not that. But this matchup in particular against Milwaukee, you're right. Toronto has a bit of an advantage that a lot of teams don't. They have a complexion that a lot of teams don't. And getting an actual good look at those players or some combination of those players, because I think that it really just comes down to, yeah, no Fred and Gary Trent, right? Letting Scottie and Pascal be the quote-unquote ball handlers and then filling out the rest with size is really interesting to me. Like, really, really, if I have one point of fascination, I don't care if the Raptors win tonight. I don't care if Fred, I guess Fred, if he lights up Drew Holiday, that's going to be pretty damn impressive and like a really nice notch in the make the All-Star game belt. But from an actual, hey, what are we supposed to be taking away from this season? What are actual things that matter? I would say playing competitively against the best team in the Eastern Conference using a combination of players that a lot of other teams do not have is, that's a thing. Like, that's an actual thing.
Yeah, and look, the Bucks aren't enormous. Like, Drew Holiday starts at his 6'3", Grayson Allen starts at his 6'4", George Hill's 6'4", and plays big minutes off the bench. But you're going to see Giannis, Middleton, Portis. You might see Boogie Cousins in off the bench. You know, Pat Connaughton and Wesley Matthews have some nominal size. So they're going to be big too. And yeah, I'm curious to see it. I don't want to minimize Fred VanVleet's role in it, because we obviously know what he can do to a Milwaukee team when he gets hot. Everyone, Bucks fans surely know. But yeah, I mean, that's the most curious thing. And obviously the Raptors are not building a younger team long-term with just Giannis in mind. But this is the team. This team and the Nets are the ones I'm most curious about, how the five forward, or at least Fred and four forward lineups look, because, you know, Giannis with scores beside him, or Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie Irving on the floor together, those are the guys you want to see it against, because the whole idea of this is not just the switchability, it's changing the geometry of the floor where there just aren't as many spaces to get to because there are arms everywhere and there's size everywhere. So I'm really curious to see how this one plays out tonight. Utah and Phoenix coming up as well, but I think it's always going to resonate a little bit more when it's a team you see more often. It's in your own conference, and in this case, you know, the defending champ. So really excited for tonight's game. The Raptors, 7.5-point dogs, by the way, on the second night of a back-to-back. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about our wake and rake from last night. We're going to talk about Leafs Oilers tonight. All that next on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back to the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Blake Murphy hit his bet. JD Bunkus hit his bet. And I let you down, folks. I let you down. Actually, the Colorado Avalanche let us down. They were up 2-0 over the Blackhawks, and it goes to overtime. And I said they'd win, but I said in regulation. So please forgive me for all of you that put that in the wake and rake. They did win, but not in regulation. But McKinnon and Kadri did get points, so hopefully you bet on that. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Oh, wasn't that your other bet?
Yes, it was. I said that they're going to get points, and I picked the wrong one.
Yeah, she gave us four bets, and then you kind of got upset because I was like, you got to give us one thing. And I know you had said Avs initially, but like it didn't, Avs outright didn't get under that minus 200 bar that we need. So that's okay. It was close. It was good process. And we got to see that awesome overtime winner.
That Kale McCarr goal, if you haven't seen it yet, pull over. Go look at it on your phone. It's honestly worth it. Okay.
Actually,
get into the park and ride or whatever. Look at it. It's sick. It's nasty.
No, you're listen, if you're listening to the show right now, you're probably at your desk streaming
That's
it.
True.
You're not in your
you're
car.
You're like opening Twitter right now.
Yeah, you're already on it. You see the goal. I was a little resentful of the Avalanche doing it. I wasn't resentful of you because I liked the bet. I thought it was a good bet. It was the right bet. They went up 2-0. I got
not
a little
gonna
greedy.
Lie, I didn't
sometimes.
Watch the end of it.
I didn't see the end of it either. I saw the highlight. I just once it. Well, I actually watched the Chicago tie it, and then I turned it off because I didn't want to continue the experience any further because I was very very frustrated. Because Blake and I, this is the other thing about the wake and rake that's almost a little frustrating to me, is we have been giving out just a tremendous amount of winners on a daily basis. And the wake and rake is the only part that will not cooperate with regularity. Like yesterday, Blake and I both loved the Raptors on the spread. We both were like apoplectic about taking Jakob Poeltl and the double-double at plus money. That thing, Jakob Poeltl, I texted Blake because Jakob misses two free throws to start the game. I was never worried about the rebounds. You could tell from the first 2 seconds that he was going to clock the rebound total in a heartbeat. But he misses these two free throws, and I go, come on, man. Don't end up with, like, 9 and 14, you know, 9 and 13. And he just – what? He was. I think he led them in points of that game and rebounds. He was 19 and 12. It was an awesome game. Plus money was ridiculous. We both loved the JV over yesterday. We were both talking about it, how he's playing his son's team, Blake mentioned, with no centers. And guess what? JV hammered that, hit a bet builder yesterday. Raptors spread. It was just a great night for the NBA. Live bet the Lakers last night, which was an electric experience too, as they were down. And for some reason, the live betting gave me plus 200 when they were down 4 points to the loser Sacramento Kings with 6 minutes left. Love that. Avalanche, why Avalanche, why couldn't you just do it? I'm just with just that night of hitting all your bets, there's something to it that is so special and amazing. And last night, that Avalanche, we had it parlayed with other winners. Blake gives that awesome plus money Nashville pick, and to miss it on that stung. Like, it just, I hate the Avalanche now. When they play the Leafs on Saturday night, there's going to be an extra please don't lose. In fact, I'm going to make my wake and rake for Friday already. The Leafs against the Avalanche. Screw the Avalanche. Bunch of losers. Kale McCarr. Overrated. Do it in a non-exhibition part of the game, Kale.
Yeah. It's tough. But this is the risk with the parlay, right? You can go, you know, you can have a good night, and the parlay doesn't hit. But that's
no, but just Ailish gave four bets on that game, and three of them hit, and she gave us the only loser, and we gave out four or five bets that all hit as well. It's just a frustrating way to go down for the wake and rake. So do you guys want to start with Leafs or Raptors when it comes to betting tonight? Which one do you feel more strongly about?
Let's do Leafs just because we have player props available for Leafs. They're not up for Raptors yet, so I think Leafs is a little more interesting. Mm-hmm. Off the top, they're minus 220 favorites. If you want to go the route we've tended to be going in regulation, that's minus 130. If you feel super spicy about how poorly the Oilers are playing, you can get the puck line minus 1.5 at plus 105. But the big one here, and the one we got to ask Ailish about, of course, Zach Hyman to score anytime, plus 190.
I don't have player props up right now, so I'm on the wrong site, clearly. But
yeah, what do you need?
Well, I wanted the Zach Hyman for sure.
So plus 190 for any time.
That's not going to be in my wake and rake, but not be surprised if that happens, folks. You know, the trend is that happens, and it's his big coming home party. The one thing I will say, disclaimer for those of you listening, currently McDavid and Matthews are questionable to play because of COVID restrictions. So you have the 8:30 a.m. block, real tough to predict. But if they're in, they're out, different situations arise. I think Hyman has a good night.
So this, you're kind of like the chip reviews now, where you're in a box and you don't know out of the box, because now any Leaf comes here and you go like, I'm betting the revenge. It does, and you've been hitting it. I agree. But it's also like you give the chips too high of a rating. Can I trust you to make this bet? Here's my thought. There's no way that Matthews and McDavid are playing tonight. They both tested positive for COVID-19. We're waiting on these PCR results. My understanding of PCR tests are that they actually detect even lower levels of COVID-19. So if these guys, like whatever the cycles are that Blake loves so much.
Cycle thresholds.
The CT. No,
But he got a negative test. Matthews got a positive and then a negative. So they need another negative. So there's a chance Matthews plays.
Okay, so then Matthews I'll put into potentially playing. But if there's no McDavid, plus 190 for Hyman doesn't seem like anything close to what I wanted at. The second part of this is there's no fans. So there's not going to be the same juice in the building for this game. It's not going to feel like Zach Hyman's return with a little bit of extra amplification. I just don't really feel that same, this is where you get revenge when there aren't fans in the building. I wanted to know, Ailish, because this is your corollary, right? The Leafs revenge corollary. Whether or not that is something that you need to consider here is the no fans when we're talking about the quote-unquote sweet revenge. Not getting to hear the crowd get silent. The crowd is just silent.
This could be my just $5. $5, you know, because I don't feel like it's a lock tonight because there's no fans. There won't be that emotional tribute that you know, we're hoping to feel with the stands and everyone standing up. So just $5, you know, $5 on plus 190. What's that get? Like, do the math quick.
$5 on plus 190 would be like $9.50 or whatever.
That's $9.50.
That's two coffees. That's maybe three coffees.
No,
just $5.
So my we need a rule on just $5, where just like how you need to have something that's minus 200 or better for the wake and rake, we can't have just $5 on something that only makes you $9.
Okay.
Just $5. Just $5 is supposed to be, what was your one yesterday that was going to make us rich?
Like, if plus 9,000 or something.
So it used to be Ailish tries to pay the rent, and one of your New Year's resolutions was try to pay the rent. But that's why just $5. You could pay the rent, but it's just $5. That's the way that I'm viewing this thing.
All right. I will reevaluate that then.
I normally don't like heavy hockey favorites like this. I usually think that once you get into numbers like this with a heavily public team like the Toronto Maple Leafs, that minus 200 for an anytime win, and maybe I'm just thinking about this through the lens of losing last night and being a little sour because the team we picked ended up winning just in overtime. But I don't know. If I really don't believe McDavid is going to play, which at this point you got to feel like the awe against him playing, I kind of like the Leafs as a parlay piece. That minus 200 just feels like something. I'm not going to use it as my waken rate because I almost feel like it's sort of cheating-ish. And part of me goes, I'm used to a team like Edmonton getting right against Toronto, but Toronto beat the brakes off the Oilers last year. Like, their season basically turned around on beating this team, and they did it in the bubble where there were no fans. They did it under these circumstances around this time of year. So I just think these are two teams in completely opposite directions. I think one goalie is great, the other goalie is trash. I think one team is deep, the other team has no depth. I think that one has more stars than the other that are going to be available to them tonight with Connor McDavid. So I just, this would be a pretty disappointing loss for the Leafs. This is a weird time where minus 200 actually feels like they didn't give enough to the Leafs. This feels like more of a minus 230, minus 240 line to me.
Okay, well, I agree, but I'm going to go on Leafs with the spread because it's plus money, plus 105 for Leafs. I do feel like it'll be more than a one goal game. I feel like the Leafs can definitely win by that spread. So I'm going to put that in as my wake and rake. Plus 105 I'm seeing for Leafs on the spread. So put that in, Blake.
That's really
good. Let's do it.
I thought about minus 133 for the regulation win, but I feel like losing back-to-back days on regulation win.
No, don't use regulation win. We need a break from that.
Yeah. Blake, do you have anything else on this or do you want to move to Raptors?
No, nothing major on Leafs. I think the regulation is always a good play. But, yeah, especially if McDavid's out, the getting plus money on the minus 1.5, like, there are so many ways that breaks, right? Like an empty netter or there's a lot of ways it could play out. I like the value there. Certainly, at the very least, the jump in value from money line to regulation is almost always worth it if you're pretty comfortable, in my estimation. So
yeah, I agree.
I don't have a lot else.
I put it out. I put my cards on the table. It's simply because the Avalanche won yesterday. Like, this is the biggest mistake that you can make as a sports bettor, is the recency bias of thinking that this is going to equate to something else. I'm just saying, if I'm being honest to the audience, if I really am being truthful, that I probably chicken out and throw the Leafs minus 200 in my parlay tonight. I don't end up betting the minus. Well, now Ailish has forced my hand to bet the non-cowardly way with the plus money, with the win by a goal and a half. But I would have, my preference still would have been, after being burned, to throw in the cowardly minus 200, have the Leafs win in regulation, and then not even be happy about my parlay win because I shouldn't have chickened out. Let's move to the Raptors. Blake, you set it up. What are they, minus or plus 7.5 point dogs?
Plus 7.5, plus 270 if you want them on the money line. So we don't have a Raptors injury report because it's a back-to-back and it's so early. But there was nothing out of last night's game that anyone's unavailable, other than Bonga going down to the 905, which obviously isn't a huge factor. On the Bucks side, they're still missing DiVincenzo, Lopez, and Connaughton. I mentioned Grayson Allen in an earlier block. Last block, actually, Grayson Allen's in protocols as well, which I hadn't noticed. So Allen, Connaughton, DiVincenzo, and Lopez all out. And then they've got a couple of, like, deep depth guys questionable. The big thing, though, with Milwaukee always is Giannis, Middleton, Drew, Portis. Those guys are available. So, it's a tough line. I think, 7.5 is right about where I'd expect it to be. Raptors on a second night of a back-to-back on the road. Top three for Milwaukee, all healthy.
So I, first of all, love that you threw Bobby Portis's name in with those other three guys. Like, what a moment for Bobby Portis's career, getting thrown in with those guys. It's like the face puncher, the Bobby Portis Raptors, what could have been legend, right? Like,
look,
so many people wanted them to draft Bobby Portis over Siakam, and now he's in there with those three stars.
We don't have player props up yet, but you gotta think a Bobby Portis rebound prop is going to be in play. He's he's had under 7 rebounds only once in his last like 14 games. I'm assuming that's going to come in around 7.5, 8.5.
Really?
With the way. Yeah.
Oh, if it comes in at 7.5, then you and I, that is the...
Probably 8.5 is where I guess.
Yeah.
It's just, tough for like a guy who's not a lock to play 30 minutes to have it basically at double digits. So
yeah,
keep an eye on that one for sure is why.
I was going to say, you and I have one thing that we're just playing basically every night, which is the best rebounder of the other team against the Raptors, taking them on the over. And I'm going to just do that probably with Giannis again tonight. Is I'm guessing that his rebound total will come in at like 11.5, 12.5. It's going to be a really high number. I don't care. I'm still going to play it. I'm still going to go bet for the Giannis that. I'm probably going to look for the Giannis double-double. It'll probably come in around like, you know, minus money, minus 130. But I'm still going to grab that. I'm still going to bang that out. I'll be looking certainly at that. I do kind of have a... This is the question I want to ask you about the Raptors in terms of betting it is. Normally, the inclination is back-to-back. Boy, don't bet the back-to-back team on a second half of a back-to-back. Do you think that's an overstated or understated thing? With like, what's the bigger part of this to you? The Raptors are traveling, right? Like, it's always circumstantial. They're going to Milwaukee. They had to travel. But last night wasn't a game where they're hammering all their players a ton. And, you know, for a younger team that's just had some real rest as of late, has some pretty fresh legs, who is playing pretty well, and dominates a team like San Antonio last night, like, my brain actually goes to, I like the Raptors on the spread here. I don't know if I'm going to play it, but the back-to-back doesn't really worry me. The bigger issue actually is the travel.
Yeah, so the back-to-back is, you know, generally the way you want to interpret it is, like, it's a good hair splitter, and then you want to be wary of a travel back-to-back where you're on the road and you're against a better team. That's the, you know, if they were playing Detroit today or something like that,
yeah,
you know, maybe you don't like a big line because it's a bit of a letdown or something like that, but it's a better team's ability to take advantage of that. And while they did blow out the Spurs last night, every starter played 28 minutes or more. Nobody over 33, which is very rare for the Raptors, so that's great. But yeah, this is a Milwaukee team with a real rest advantage here. And yes, missing some guys, but not their key guys. So this is one, like I said off the top, I think 7.5 is the right line here. I don't really see much of an advantage on either side. I do think if you're a believer that, like, you know, don't overstate these last three games and be like, oh, the Raptors are going to beat the Bucks. They're world beaters now. This team's great. But if the Raptors are going to get back to being that annoying team that's really hard to put away, that's the interesting thing here is, like, do they hang around with the Bucks? Do they do the fake comeback thing?
Mm-hmm. This is the first time we've had Raptors and Leafs on the same night since December 14th. So I want to do something like a homers parlay. I want to do something of that sort.
Okay.
So is it both teams on the spread?
No, I can't bet the Raptors in good conscience tonight. And this is what I was going to close it on is, the Milwaukee Bucks just had one of the biggest upsets in NBA history from a gambling standpoint. They were something I want to believe like 15-point favorites at home against the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons beat them 115 to 106. The Raptors are the first opponent that they're facing since that loss. There's no way in hell that I'm touching the Toronto Raptors tonight. Giannis cares about the Toronto game. I really do believe it. He didn't play last time against them, if I'm not mistaken, Ailish Forfar. You might have remembered a little something about that.
I recall that game.
Yeah. Now you're going to get angry, pissed off Giannis, who Raptors fans complained about not playing in a game against the Raptors and who squeaked out a win against them. I'm looking at this as a complete stay away, but if I really have to tell you the honest to God's truth of what I think happens here, I think the Bucks kick the absolutely living crap out of the Raptors tonight, and it is a get right game because of what happened with the Pistons.
So if you wanted to play the homers parlay, which again, we haven't had a chance to play in almost a month, I would be Raptors plus 270 and Leafs minus 220. You just go with the outrights. That's a plus 438. So as far as,
$5.
Yeah,
just
as far as
bucks,
I want a little bit of extra juice on a Leafs win, you could add the Raptors to it and get some money back. But yeah, the Raptors outright is a tough one. Okay, so Ailish, you've locked in Leafs minus 1.5. JD, what are you putting in the waking rake today?
So I'm just starting to see, this is what I hate. I tried to see the NBA lines earlier this morning. I didn't have a bunch of them up. Here's what I will tell you, that I really, really, really wanted to bet the Atlanta Hawks on the money line facing this Kings team that's coming off of the back-to-back, because I just think the Kings are trash. But again, it goes back to the last bet thing where I ended up being like, why am I betting on the Atlanta Hawks late at night? This seems like a bit of an issue for me. There's actually a couple of NBA games that I like tonight. Like, I like Brooklyn as a parlay piece against that crappy Pacers
team.
I like the
Pacers
Warriors
on a back-to-back as well.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I thought about Brooklyn laying the 7.5. Again, speaking of a team that wants to maybe get right and that just has too much firepower there. But I have to go with the bet. This isn't a tip. This isn't like his mutter was a mutter. But I have a friend who is a huge fan of Florida basketball, just Florida Gators in general. They play Alabama tonight. It's a 1-point spread for Florida. And essentially the scouting report I got back from this friend is that Florida's center is going to feast in this matchup. That this is going to be an incredible game for Florida center. I can't remember his name, but that Alabama just does not have the ability to defend this guy inside. And that one of the things Florida does best is defend the 3-point line, which is something that Alabama relies on greatly this season. So this is a bit of a random one for the Wake and Rake parlay.
I like it.
I am going to take the Florida Gators at home in college basketball to beat the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah, so that's an interesting one. Colin Castleton is the center. He's putting up about 15 and 9. The Gators are interesting. This is so I have Ken Pom in front of me, which is kenpom.com to kind of get your adjusted team ratings. Mm-hmm. They're close, man. Bama and Florida in that SEC. Mm-hmm. It's a loaded SEC year where those teams are 5th and 6th by Ken Pom ranking in the SEC, but they're both
a big matchup. It's a college game that you kind of want to watch.
Big matchup. Bama has the edge by the Ken Pom ranking, but it's in Florida. Yeah, that's fun. I mean, it's always nice to have a little juice on that. So you're going Florida minus 1.5.
I'm just going to say, I mean, I was going to pick Florida money line. It's moved now, I guess, to minus 1.5 because other people are betting it because it opened up as a pick 'em. But yeah, I'm going to just play them on the money line. I just want Florida to win. All right. Let the college students win.
Okay. So I'm going with one that bucks recent statistical trends. So Miami and Portland have both been bleeding points and putting up a lot of points, but that game tonight has no Bam, no Jimmy Butler, no Dame, no CJ, likely no Larry Nance, no Duncan Robinson, no a bunch of Miami's support pieces, including Dwayne Dedman. It's basically Kyle Lowry against Norman Powell and Anfernee Simons. I'm going under 217.5 in that one. I don't want to touch, you know, I'm inclined to anytime Kyle Lowry has a 1-point line to just put the faith in Kyle Lowry and go with Lowry plus one on the road here. But I'm all those stars missing. And the fact that both of these offenses have been humming with not a lot of great guys there, I don't know. It feels like 217.5 has gone too far the other way. I'm going to go with the under in that game. Always a little bit of a risky one because when you get these fill-in guys in, it could go either way, right? Because they're not as good offensively, but they're also not as good defensively. Under 217.5 in Miami-Portland.
Well, I especially like this one, though, because to me there might be a little bit of an inflation for the Blazers, given that they just faced that Hawks team that plays no defense and put up, you know, 150 points against them or whatever, where they just – 150 points. They dominated, right? Like, they dominated that Hawks team. They scored a ton. Simons, I think, had 40 points. They were just unstoppable. So I don't mind this one. I actually think that's a good like fade under. I like this again. Once again, I like all the picks. What is our? Yeah. I wanted you to bring this up, or I wanted you to, because you've been tracking these things, and this has been one of the banes of the Wake and Rake, is that it's only won a couple of times. But what are the actual stats in terms of times where we've had a win versus had two people actually be the winners, like we had last night again?
Yeah, so we've won 3 times. We've been 2-1 5 times, which is tough. And that's out of 12 total. So 8 of the 12, we've gone at least 2 of 3. There are a couple where we went 1-1. I'm not counting those as near misses because they were either there was the one where Ailish was off, and then there was the one where the game got actually Ailish had 2 where the game got canceled.
That's rude, eh?
Which changes it a little bit. So the Wake and Rake picks are 20-11 overall, and then 3 wins and 5 2-1s. So
and Justin Cuthbert gave us a loss, so just ignore that one. right?
Oh yeah, there's a yes. But that's Cuthbert also, we also got to win with Cuthbert, so you got to play that. Oh, you got to decide how you want to do that.
Yeah, you got to leave it now. It's just it's a wash. Because it's a wash. Yeah, it's like it washes out. So it's like had it been any other way, it would have been controversial. But because it's a wash, he's got one winning pick and one losing pick. That it's like, okay, I guess you just leave it. They cancel each other out. Let's take a break. Let's come back, and let's talk to Tim Bontemps. It's the Fan Morning Show. Blake looked at me like it was like you're not allowed to say that.
Tim Bontemps. Like, I thought you call him Timmy Good Times all the time, but it's
I tried actually calling him Timmy Good Times once though, and he did not receive it well. So,
Well, hopefully, luckily, he's probably not listening yet.
It was not a Timmy Good Time.